It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light it up on a Tuesday. Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Sorry, Colonel Flowers. Had a little issue making the transition this morning between shows. So a little extended, open, but we are here. We're happy to be here. However you're listening, wherever you're listening, we just thank you so much for being a part of today's presentation of Light the Tower. We have lost our way today, at least for a little bit. Everybody knows where Craig is. I don't need to tell you. He's in Omaha. It is an elimination game today for the Texas baseball team at the College World Series. 12:45 pregame. First pitch shortly after 1 o'clock here on the Horn. Texas and Tennessee in an elimination game, a loser's bracket game. Winner advances. Loser goes home. The stakes could not be higher, and we will have it for you here on the show. Craig will join us, hopefully, fingers crossed, at some point in the noon hour. Let me go ahead and bring in, I am Jeff Howe, first off. Let me bring in our producer, our man behind the glass. He is the publisher, curator, otherwise Major Domo at FlexATX, FlexATX.com, at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. Dare I say, the most influential man in high school football in the Greater Austin area, Snoop Daniel.
Dare you say it.
Snoop, how are you today, sir?
Humble.
I'm humble bragging for you, Snoop.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm good. I'm just jacked up on coffee.
Green tea?
I think it's stronger. It's just straight. You know, sometimes Starbucks, they'll put an extra shot of espresso in your drink thinking they're being nice because it's supposed to be extra. But sometimes, man, that stuff, it's too strong.
Yeah. You get that the cornholio factor kicks in. And
golly, I feel like, I don't know what the hell I feel like. Like, my hands are a little sweaty. I'm a little jumpy. I'm already like an anxious person. Like, a little like wound up. I can't help it.
So the Specs text line is open, 337-3776. Everybody, you know, be gentle with Snoop today. He's already on edge and the coffee isn't helping. Specs text line is open. Different format for the show today. Before we get started, I just got to remind everybody a couple things. Get over to Horns 24/7. A lot of good content on the site right now, including a headline that popped up late last night that we'll get to here in just a second, but plenty of good stuff. Mike Roach's Stampede, his weekly collection of recruiting news, notes, and nuggets, especially coming off of a big official visit weekend. It is jam-packed with recruiting information. We had Mike on yesterday. You can hear that interview on our podcast page at hornfm.com. Just go to the Light the Tower page and you can see our interview with Mike, or however you get the podcast feeds and the feeds for all the shows here on the Horn. Also, the latest Longhorn Blitz podcast is live. Those of you who subscribe, we thank you. We being myself, Matt Butler, Rod Babers, thank you so much for subscribing to the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcasts, just search Horns 24/7. Click the follow button. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review if you'd be so kind. As you get every episode of Longhorn Blitz, including this week's episode, which dropped this morning, it is published. So, a little bit of a different show today. The first hour is going to be pretty much standard fare at Light the Tower. We've got a notebook coming up at the bottom of the hour. We've got Inconceivable coming up at the end of the hour. Hour number two, I'll still be in the driver's seat, but it'll be a Light the Tower shirts portion of Shirts and Skins collaboration. Chad Hastings will be in here at 11 o'clock, and Chad will be with me. It'll be Chad, myself, and Snoop all the way up until we take you to Texas pregame at 12:45. So, You know, it's we've tried this a couple different ways, Snoop, and when you've got a baseball game in the afternoon, as you know, Snoop's more in tune to the logistical side here at the Horn than I am. Anytime you've got an afternoon game, there's a good chance multiple shows are going to get shortchanged, but at least one, you're going to have basically no show. And that was kind of the deal with Shirts and Skins today. And Chad and I talked about it, and, you know, I guess I told Chad and Snoop, we talked about it. I said, you know, unless Trey Elling just really, really wants to be here today, or, I don't know, Trey's got multiple side projects, Books on Pod and other things.
That he is here, by
he
the
works
way.
On. Oh, Trey is in the building. Okay, so that kind of blew that idea out of the water. But I said, hey, unless Trey just really wants to come in and work for 45 minutes, then, you know, Snoop can hang out and I can hang out and it'll be Chad and we'll just talk about whatever until a lot of Longhorn baseball, obviously, until we get to pregame. So, Alex, normal hour number one, and then the last hour and, you know, 40 or so minutes of the show today will be a Light the Tower Shirts and Skins collaboration. We do have to get into the big news with Texas football.
Light the Skins.
Yes, dealing with an incident that occurred over the weekend. We'll get to that here in just a second. But Snoop, what is brewing at Flex ATX right now?
Well, State Sevens this weekend. We're okay. Really hyped for that. We got 9 Austin area teams, 7 Division I, 2 Division II teams. So the Division II teams will start popping off Thursday, and then Division I qualifiers on Friday, and then the championship one-game elimination on Saturday morning through.
Yeah, so my next question is, who all from the Horn is headed down there?
A lot of people. Myself, of course, Zach Lucero, who is really, he's honestly the host of the Flex radio
show.
Wait,
so you're going down on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's producing our show then on Friday?
Oh, I don't know. We have to talk about that on Tuesday.
Okay.
Today's Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Well,
so
we'll talk about that today at 3 o'clock.
Well, everybody, I guess, knows what I'm doing after the show, in addition to covering Longhorn baseball from here. But anyway, go ahead, Snoop.
Yes. Trevor Hines, Derek Cohen, Nolan Hogan, the seed of Aaron Hogan, his son, Aaron Hogan Jr., and maybe BK. I don't know. BK was talking about going. And if we go to College Station, we're going to turn up after the game.
Okay. I'm just telling you, and let me say this. I've said this to people in the building. I've said this to you because you've been to State 7-on-7 before.
Yeah.
Those that haven't been, like Derek hasn't been, Trevor hasn't been.
Zach hasn't been.
BK hasn't
They're
been.
They're all new.
A lot of noobs. I've done, I think, it's double digits how many State 7-on-7 tournaments I've done. The only play, and I'll say this, since you know, the NCAA stopped allowing folks to have 7-on-7 tournaments on their campus, and yeah, it was forced to move away. It was actually up in Leander for a couple of years. But ever since that happened, and A&M was forced to move it away, well, the City College Station was forced to move it away from the A&M Penberthy Intramural Fields to move it over to Veterans Memorial Park where it is now, it's helped a little bit because there are actually trees at Veterans Memorial Park.
Phew.
The only place hotter than the seventh circle of hell is College Station, Texas, specifically the Penberthy Intramural Fields in the month of July and late June. I don't know why it's just so damn hot, but it is. It has been, and it's brutal. The only thing that's in the forecast, Snoop, is sunburn and crotch rot. So, you know, let the noobs know. It's going to be definitely going to be like a baby powder kind of weekend, or
yeah,
you know, whatever you prefer. A lot of hydration needed,
yes,
some bananas, oranges, the whole deal. So don't let the noobs go unprepared.
That's your
job, Snoop.
I take a towel and dunk it in like ice water, and then just put it over my head and put my hat over it, so like I constantly have like
See,
some kind of.
These are the kind of tips you need to have, like a 7-on-7 yeah, boot camp with Derek and Trevor and Zach and BK,
so
just to let
die.
Them know. Like, I'm telling you, man,
I almost died one year, and I'm not joking.
State 7-on-7 hot is a different kind of hot, man. It is a different kind of hot. So that'll be going on this weekend. And Snoop, what do you got lined up for the Thursday Night Flex?
A bunch of interviewing of the kids who are playing.
Okay. So a lot of State 7-on-7 stuff coming up for Snoop. In the notebook, we got a little bit more Steve Sarkisian audio to get to from my one-on-one with him after he spoke to the media and was the keynote speaker at the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area summer luncheon last week. I got a little one-on-one with Sark, asked him a couple of questions. We played one of those cuts yesterday, talking about the quarterback battle. We've got a couple more cuts today. We'll do that in the notebook. And we do have Craig Way's interview with Mike Antico. Craig caught up with Mike yesterday. You heard a little bit of that in the Craig Way report, but we have the whole interview in its entirety that we will air in the notebook coming up at the bottom of the hour. So, and we'll talk plenty of Longhorn baseball today, too, again, as Texas gets ready to play in the elimination game in Omaha on their side of the bracket. But, Snoop, I guess from the we'll pull this from the "This is why we can't have nice things" file. Texas wide receiver Keith Ron Lee. Keith Ron Lee is a 2021 signee, was recruited by the Tom Herman staff. Steve Sarkisian and company retained him, kept his commitment, kept his scholarship open, and brought him into the fold, got him signed in January. He was arrested in Bryan over the weekend, according to Brazos County jail records. He was arrested on an assault of a family member charge on Sunday. His bond was set at $5,000 following the arrest. As of 10:30 last night, there was no release date listed on the Brazos County jail records website, and further details of Lee's arrest were not available. That was as of press time. That's according to our report at Horns 24/7. Here's what Steve Sarkisian said about Keith Ron Lee in February during his National Signing Day press conference. Sark said, quote, "I really view him as a slot-type receiver for us. I think this guy's got a real high football IQ. All of the gadget-type plays, the jet sweeps, the bubbles, those things stand out. But when you really start digging into the tape on him, his ability to adjust to the football down the field is something that's been very impressive to me. He's got tremendous hand-eye coordination. He can make plays on the ball, and he wins one-on-ones." I don't know, Snoop, at this point, how many one-on-ones Keith Ron Lee is going to win in a Texas Longhorn uniform. We've mentioned this. If you're a member at Horns 24/7, you heard us talking about this or saw us talking about this on the flagship message board last night. You know, it sounds like there might have been some, I don't know if issues is the right term, but just some stuff maybe behind the scenes that maybe there's been some feathers ruffled. But the bottom line is, with this charge, my gut tells me, my initial impression, and I could be wrong, is that I don't think Keith Ron Lee is going to be very long for this Texas football program. So we'll see what happens. You know, I situation aside, like, the charge itself is a totally different ball of wax. So we'll just shove that to the side for a second. But if you're a guy like Keith Ron Lee and you're in this position, this is kind of like the worst. Not that there's ever a great time to commit this kind of offense, but man, this is the worst time to get in any kind of trouble. When you're a guy that this staff didn't recruit, they decided to keep your commitment valid, honored that scholarship. You put pen to paper, and your first summer, real before you've ever played a down of football, there's already red flags popping up. So we'll see what Steve Sarkisian does. This is, as best I can remember, the first time Sark has dealt with anything in this realm. So we'll see how he handles it again. Typically, Snoop, we don't details about this kind of stuff. They don't get unearthed. We don't ever really find out about it in terms of if there is stuff behind the scenes that this is the straw that broke the camel's back or whatever, if there's multiple occurrences that have piled up for Keith Ron Lee. That's the type of stuff we don't ever really usually find out about that. And the public eye, that usually stays behind closed doors. So all that, I say that because all that's going to be dependent on how Sark handles this. If this is kind of a one-time thing, then maybe they do let the legal system play out. But again, if this is one of many indiscretions, then, you know, maybe Texas just and Keith Ron Lee, maybe they go their separate ways. But the bottom line is Keith Ron Lee, Texas freshman wide receiver, was arrested on assault charges over the weekend. That is according to Brazos County jail records, which we had access to in Horns 24/7. So we'll keep you updated on the Keith Ron Lee situation if there's anything new that happens on that front. But, you know, I mentioned it's not a good time, just be a good time to get in trouble, any kind of trouble, because off the field, because, you know, it's a new staff. And I mean, anytime you have a coaching change, you're going to have attrition regardless of the situation. Look across, and it's not just a Texas thing, even though I become accustomed to saying, Snoop, we're unfortunately very familiar with how coaching changes work on the 40 acres and massive staff turnovers and the attrition that comes with them. So anybody that's followed Texas knows that happens, but it happens anywhere across the country. Anytime you have a coaching change, you're going to have attrition. You're going to have guys that just realize whether the assistant coach that recruited them isn't there or they just flat don't fit, you're going to have turnover in some way, shape, or form. But in addition to that, and we'll hear Steve Sarkisian talk about this in the notebook, I mean, you've got options at wide receiver. You know, so it's not like this staff is hurting for wide receiver depth, especially with the late addition to the 2021 class of Xavier Worthy, with Jatavion Sanders starting his career out on offense, with Jake Smith getting back from the foot injury, Jordan Whittington coming off of a really good spring, and then I've talked ad nauseum this spring and into the summer about just the amount of talent that's in that wide receiver room. At some point, you just got to develop it, and those guys have to produce, so the pieces are there. So in terms of how this impacts the depth chart, it probably doesn't really impact the depth chart at all. And I'll say this, because this popped up too last night. I got this question. Well, does this open up, you know, an additional scholarship? No, not necessarily, because, and this is why you really have to try to do your background checks as much as you can, do as much legwork behind the scenes to figure out who you're recruiting. The way, and this changed, I believe the 2018 signing class was the first time this changed. If a guy, and because it was done, this was done to prevent oversigning, because, you know, some of those Ole Miss recruiting classes Houston Nutt put together where they'd sign like, you know, 38, 39 guys, but, you know, 10 of them were going to junior college. It prevents that kind of stuff. I think the class of 2018 was the first year it happened where the NCAA said, if a guy signs a letter of intent, it's held against you in terms of your initial counters for the year. You're only allowed to 25 of those guys, and that's where you get into, you know, you bring on 25, but maybe you only brought in 23 the year before, so you can roll two back when you hear, I've gone through this before, when you hear about rolling scholarships back and how many you can add and all that stuff that factors into building a roster. That's the number you're looking at, those 25 initial counters in a school year. Keith Ron Lee counts against that number for Texas, whether he remains on the roster or not. So that's why in recruiting, and I mentioned this last week after the Reuben Owens decommitment, and people are like, oh, Sark needs to build momentum. You need to get some commitments. Well, no, you don't, especially now, you don't take commitments just for the sake of taking commitments. You take commitments because you want to maximize every scholarship and you feel like that guy can be a big-time player for you. Now, every school, not every school in the country, bats a thousand on this stuff. Not every school. If you bring in 25 new guys in a year, those 25 initial counters you're allowed to bring in, not all 25 of those are going to be starters for you or playing the National Football League. It just doesn't happen that way. But this is part of the deal when you're building a roster, and why, and it's why I'm fascinated to see in a few years, getting off subject a little bit, with the 2021 and 22 classes. I think by 23 it'll start to maybe even out a little bit, because their recruiting calendar is going to be as close to normal as we've had in a couple cycles. But these last two COVID recruiting cycles, I am fascinated to see what the transfer rate is going to be, not just for blue chip guys, but the transfer rate period. It's typically high for, you know, positions like quarterback anyway, but I think because you've got a lot of guys that signed with places and enrolled at places, and in some cases enrolling in school and setting foot on campus as a student, in some cases that might be the first time that student athlete, that prospect, has been on that campus and gotten a really good look behind the scenes. So I'm fascinated to see what happens with the transfer numbers just across the country, across FBS and Power 5 here in a couple of years, with a lot of guys committing to schools and signing with schools sight unseen. So we'll see. We'll track that, and we'll definitely continue at Horns 24/7 to track the Keith Ron Lee situation. Okay, we've got a loaded notebook. Like I said, we've got some Sark cuts to get to. We got a Mike Antico interview to get to. So it's going to be an extra meaty edition of the notebook for this hour. So let's take a break right now, come back, and get to all of that when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Light the Tower with Craig Webb, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel.
Rolling along, hour number one on a Tuesday, Light the Tower on the Horn. We are live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig Way in Omaha. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Craig can join us for a little bit in the 12 o'clock hour. And why do you say, wait a minute, 12 o'clock hour? You guys aren't on in the 12 o'clock hour. Well, in case you're just tuning in, yes, we are going to be on in the 12 o'clock hour today. Basically, the last hour 40 of our broadcast day before we kick it to Texas pregame at 12:45. It's going to be a Shirts and Skins Light the Tower collaboration. Chad Hastings will be in here at the top of the hour. We'll talk Texas baseball, Texas football, Big 12 football, whatever pops up when Chad is in here starting at 11 o'clock. No Trey Elling today. Snoop is Snoop's producing the whole way. Snoop, thank you so much. I know you and I talked about it off the air yesterday, but I just asked Snoop, hey, do you want to stick around for an extra 40 minutes and just produce? And
I got a dentist appointment with Dr. Eckert at 2:30, so...
That's why whatever you can do to prolong going to the dentist, you're all for it today.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the coffee. You're extra jittery today. You're nervous today.
Yeah. I've already said, like, when he's looking in my mouth, I'm gonna like chomp down because I'm so amped up on coffee. No, he's gonna do a great job, and
shout out to Dr. Eckert.
Yeah, Dr. You
does an awesome job. You know who else does an awesome job? Craig Wade does an awesome job, and Craig is going to lead off this hour's Longhorn Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Technically, right now, it would be Craig's notebook because Craig in Omaha to call the College World Series elimination game today between Texas and Tennessee, 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch. Craig caught up yesterday with Texas center fielder Mike Antico, he of the solo home run that got Texas back in the game on Sunday night against Mississippi State, started that ninth inning rally that came up just short. Craig caught up with Mike talking about the state of the Longhorns right now as they look to stave off elimination against Tennessee today, and here is Craig's interview. You heard a little bit of this morning in the Craig Way Report, but here is that interview in its entirety.
Let me get your thoughts, first of all, about when a team goes through what you guys went through in the ball game against Mississippi State, and you fight through and you have the ninth inning that you kind of had. How much do you pull from an experience like you had in the ninth to counterbalance the disappointment of what happened in the prior eight innings of at-bats?
Yeah, just too little, too late. Took us a little too long to adjust. But, we did get it rolling in that ninth inning there, and it was a good little boost even though we had lost the game. We're trying to bring that into tomorrow, and in that ninth inning we did make the adjustment, so going forward we're just going to keep rolling with that, bringing it into tomorrow's game.
I made the comment on the broadcast as you walked to the plate in the ninth inning. I said one of the things that the Longhorns need for the guy coming to play right now to get on, because you start so much and then you do more than just get on. You drive the ball out of the ballpark. What were you looking for when you came in and felt like you put a good swing on it?
Yeah. I was choked up about as far up on the bat as I could. I was really just trying to put the ball in play because, as you guys could see, the whole team was having trouble putting the ball in play. So I was choked up. I was just trying to touch the ball and touch it the right way and was able to send it.
One thing that Coach talked about in the post game, I'm sure you guys have had more conversations about it, the term swing plane.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Explain it for fans a little bit, what you're seeing there, how it relates to what you're doing in an at-bat.
Yeah, the pitcher last night had great spin rate, which means the ball doesn't drop as much as it usually does. So if you're watching the game, you could see a lot of our swings were underneath the ball where we really had to get on top, and we didn't do so until the last inning.
Toward that end, is it a mental adjustment more than a physical adjustment? How do you go about doing that when you look to correct it?
Yeah, it's definitely both. Like I told you, I was choked up all the way up on the bat trying to shorten up as much as I can. And then also with that, I was trying to see the top of the baseball. If I couldn't see the top of the baseball, it was too high and I wouldn't be able to hit it. So it was both a mental and a physical adjustment.
Now, you've played in this ballpark before with St. John's of the Big East Tournament, right? Did you ever play in it where the wind was blowing out as much as it? Because normally it's coming out of the south.
Yeah, I have played at this field, and I remember the wind blowing in. Yeah, when I played here. So it's a tough park to play at. The wind was swirling all over the place, and the sun was really bad in left field and in center a little bit. So, it's not an easy park to play at. Definitely the environment and everybody was unbelievable. But, I think after that first game we got our feet wet, and now we know a little more what to expect, so it'll be better going forward.
Final thing here, when you get ready for a team like Tennessee, and I know it's a backs-to-the-wall situation, but is it easy to put that part of it out and go out and just relax in the moment and be able to focus on what you have to do against a good pitcher like what you're going to see in this game against Tennessee?
Yeah, well, if we don't relax and play the way we do, we'll be going home. So, you know, I guess you could look at it in the way is that it can't get much worse than it was yesterday. So, you know, just looking forward from here, it can really only go up. I think in that ninth inning we learned a lot about the adjustments we got to make. So I think tomorrow will be a different result.
Mike Antico's been the table setter for Texas all year. And I even said this to Robbie Falk, who covers Mississippi State for us at 24/7 Sports. He's our lead writer on our Mississippi State property. I said, you know, you look at a leadoff hitter, and Antico came into Omaha hitting 269, and you say, okay, what's the big deal? Well, then look at he's second in the nation in walks, came into the tournament seventh in on-base percentage. One more steal, he'll be the first guy, the first Longhorn since Tim Moss in 2002 to steal 40 bases in a season. So Mike Antico, there was a lot of hype around him when he got to Texas, and I remember at this time last year we were talking about him transferring in from St. John's, and he's been every bit as good as advertised, and in my opinion, I think exceeded a lot of expectations. They're going to need Mike Antico to be big today, but I think the Antico home run included, they're going to need the middle of the lineup to build on that ninth inning they had on Sunday. Zach Zubia working a walk, Ivan Melendez getting a well-hit liner into left at the end of a 12-pitch at bat, and then Cam Williams with that single into center. It's great what Mike Antico does. It's awesome if you can get Eric Kennedy going at the bottom of the lineup. But if 3, 4, and 5 don't produce the way they have all season when Texas has been at their best, the Longhorns won't be playing pass today. The 3, 4, and 5 have got to produce for Texas when called upon to do so. Switch gears right now. And, you know, Snoop, we're 74 days away from kickoff. I'll save my fun fact of the day, and really, it's kind of a request for CB for his 74 days graphic next year. I'll get to that coming up in the second hour. But right now, I do want to finish up our conversation with Steve Sarkisian from last week. We played the clip from my chat with him, my brief one-on-one chat with him last Thursday. We played a cut from that yesterday talking about quarterbacks. Got a couple of more that I think are really interesting. So we talked about the Keith Ron Lee situation in the first segment. If you missed it, Texas wide receiver Keith Ron Lee, 2021 signee on campus this summer, arrested on assault charges over the weekend in Bryan. We're waiting some kind of official word on what his future is with the program, how Texas is going to handle this, etc. But Keith Ron Lee was arrested over the weekend. And, you know, I mentioned Texas isn't hurting for depth at the wide receiver position, or really at the offensive skill positions anyway, because Jatavion Sanders is a different kind of guy starting his career on offense. You know, will he play some true inline tight end? Will he play flexed out? Will he play out wide? My answer to that question is probably yes. I think they would use him in as many ways as possible, dependent upon how well he conceptually grasps the game as a true freshman. And then you add Xavier Worthy, the burner out of the state of California, who was a Michigan signee, got out of his letter of intent, and ends up enrolling at Texas, a guy that can really blow the top off of a defense and give Texas maybe that true vertical threat that they really didn't have last year, that they missed with the loss of Devin Duvernay in concluding his eligibility after the 2019 season and heading to the NFL. So this is Sark right here talking about exactly what Xavier Worthy and Jatavion Sanders can bring to this offense right out of the gate.
I think for both of them, you know, clearly we haven't been able to do real football with right. them. You know, we're having some football meetings and they're training. You know, both of them, I love their approach. I think they're very serious about, you know, why they're here and what yeah. they're doing. Jatavion has got, you know, a real kind of leadership mentality about him, and so does Xavier. And that doesn't happen all the time with young players, but, you know, I think they provide something different. Jatavion provides a uniqueness of size and speed. He can block, he can run routes, he can catch and provide that offensively. And obviously Xavier provides a great deal of speed, right. and he's, you know, speed is really what makes us go offensively. And so those two components with those guys, I think, will be good for us.
When you talk about speed and explosiveness with Xavier Worthy, verified track results, Snoop. 22-1 in the long jump, 10-5-5 in the 100, 21-4-1 in the 200. Brandon Huffman, who is just outstanding at what he does at 24/7 Sports, our national recruiting editor, compares him to DeSean Jackson based on the whole skill set. So that's the kind of athlete, the kind of guy you're getting on the perimeter and Xavier Worthy. And Snoop, you saw Jatavion Sanders in person, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. Before I saw him in person, I thought the idea that Jatavion Sanders should be on offense was just ludicrous. I said, no, get him on defense, teach him how to hone his skills as a pass rusher, and in 3 years, let him go in the first round and be a millionaire. When I saw the first time, like I saw Jatavion Sanders film and looking at his body type, just stick him on defense and don't worry about it. And then I saw him in person play wide receiver. And yeah, you know, he's got the great hands and we've seen the highlights of him making one-handed catches, but it's a guy at his size taking bubble screens and burning off for 40, 50 yards on a defense. It's him, you know, running nine routes and just blowing by everybody at his size. He's a unique cat, and we tried to find a comparison for him, Snoop, and the only different guy than the guy I'm going to mention, the more I think about it, the only thing I can come up with that remotely resembles what I think could be an accurate comparison would be Henry Melton. When Henry Melton came out of Grapevine, initially came to Texas as a running back, everybody said, put Henry Melton on defense.
Was he 37?
Yeah, and everybody ended up being right about Henry Melton because he ended up being a Pro Bowler in the NFL as a defensive lineman, but he started at Texas as a running back. And you can go through your Texas running back rooms and say which running back room in the history of the program was the deepest, but think about that running back room Henry Melton came into. Ramontz Taylor, who kind of was just an all-purpose guy, didn't really have a set position in 05. Yeah, Jamal Charles as a true freshman. Selvin Young, who played in the league. Chris Obanaya was your number four running back, and Chris Obanaya played in the league and was a damn good running back by the time he left Texas. This is a really deep running back room Henry Melton came into, and he still played. He got reps as a true freshman in goal line situations. So Henry Melton, that's the only guy I can really compare Jatavion Sanders to in terms of a guy that, yeah, he can play on either side of the ball, and it kind of makes sense. So just a unique cat. Not much else to say there on Jatavion Sanders. All right, this is our last cut here, and I asked Sark because he hasn't been able to comment on some of the transfers, specifically Snoop's favorite new Longhorn, Ben Davis.
Ben Davis, baby.
He's enrolled. We don't have to get questions about him on the text line, Snoop. He is on campus. He's going through workouts. Ben Davis, Ogunjobi, we know Ray Thornton was in for spring practice. And Devin Richardson is also in the program, but Devin Richardson's a little bit different because the plan is to kind of get him a look inside first. But those three guys, Thornton, Ogunjobi, and Davis, you're counting on those guys in kind of a money ball approach, if you will, to try to make up for the loss of Joseph Osai. They're not going to replace him with one guy. Even though Ray Thornton in the spring game, they look pretty solid wearing that 46, you're not going to replace Joseph Osai with one guy. But on top of that, while you might not have that kind of production, that kind of NFL upside with any of these three guys like you had with Osai, the leadership they bring and the experience they bring is the strength of this group. Think about this. All three of those guys in their stops at LSU for Thornton, Notre Dame for Gofu, and Alabama for Davis, all three of those guys played in the college football playoff. Two of those guys come to Texas with national championship rings. So I asked Sark about that just from an experience standpoint. How huge is it to have those three guys in the room?
I love that about them. They all three of them bring a great deal of maturity. Mm-hmm. And the maturity is about putting in the work and why we're putting in the work for the end result. And you know, you're talking two grad transfers and another guy who's experienced. You're talking two guys who've won a national championship. All three of them have been in the college football playoff. And so they know what it looks like. They know what it takes. And not that I think we're very far, but it is good to have guys that have living examples of what that looks like. And so, you know, we're pumped to have those guys, and now getting them integrated into the program is a huge component right now.
We're talking about Jatavion Sanders being a freak. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. Somebody mentioned Lavelle Pinckney. We talked about Lavelle Pinckney when we got to 80 days until kickoff because of the it was coming off the one of Kevin Durant's several massive games in that Eastern Conference semifinals. And talking about the tie-in because Lavelle Pinckney was one of the reasons, like not one of the reasons why Kevin Durant came to Texas, but he helped. Lavelle Pinckney had a relationship with Kevin Durant's dad. They knew each other, and Lavelle Pinckney basically kept putting in a good word for Texas. Hey, you like the school, you like Austin, it's great, et cetera, et cetera. So Lavelle Pinckney, in a roundabout way, helped get Kevin Durant to Texas. But that's kind of – and the text was Lavelle Pinckney being a monster back in the day, never really lived up to expectations, but he was huge for a wide receiver. Yes, he was, and they tried the tight end thing with Lavelle Pinckney. You know, Bucky Godbolt can probably – can, and Bucky, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm out of line here. I think Jatavion Sanders has just more a little more juice, a little more subtle explosiveness than Lavelle Pinckney had. Like I said, he's a different kind of guy. Like I said, you see parts of Lavelle Pinckney, you can see little bits and pieces of Henry Melton. For me, another guy that I thought, you know, had a really bright future on defense and ended up being pretty good while he was on offense at Texas A&M. And I see parts of Ricky Seals-Jones in Jatavion Sanders. So, like I said, there's not really a direct comp for the kind of skill set he brings, the kind of athleticism he has. And Snoop, we talked about, like, you saw from when you saw him, he just got a different kind of body type. Like, he's just built differently.
If Thanos played wide receiver, he'd be Jatavion Sanders.
So, Jatavion Sanders, Xavier Worthy, bringing some pop to the offense, those three experienced defensive ends. And when we talked about Texas getting the commitment a couple of weeks ago from Anthony Jones, the big 6'5 athlete out of Las Vegas, you know, Sark talked about it during his signing day press conference that was going to be an area where they really had to hit it hard in the ensuing recruiting cycles to get guys that can play that hybrid edge position. They just call it, you know, edge, but it's that hybrid defensive end, outside linebacker for Pete Kwiatkowski. They loaded up on guys now in the transfer portal with those three guys that Sark just talked about, but getting Anthony Jones, and if they can close the deal with a guy like Derrick Brown at Texas High, you know, that's a really, really pivotal position for them going forward. But it's nice to have this group of veteran guys who can help kind of bridge that gap. And even if Jatavion Sanders doesn't end up on defense, I still really like the kind of future Prince Dorba has. And again, I do think Prince Dorba is a much better fit in this defensive scheme than he was in the Chris Ash defensive scheme. I just think it fits his skill set a lot better. So we'll keep the Texas football conversation going. We'll talk plenty of Texas baseball before we're done. Right around 12:40-ish today. Chad Hastings coming in at 11 o'clock. But coming up next, it's time for we got to get another one of our staples out of the way, Snoop, in hour number one. It is inconceivable to close out the hour when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Craig Way, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel, Light the Tower.
Inconceivable. 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 Inconceivable!
You keep using the horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Inconceivable means it's brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and the fine folks at Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. If you or your athlete have suffered an orthopedic injury that requires attention, that requires orthopedic attention, go to austin-orthopedics.com. Let Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his team get you back in the game, not just on the court or on the field, but back in the game of life at austin-orthopedics.com. Snoop, I'll save this story because the truly inconceivable story. I'll save that for just a second because I think we're going to need to maybe have some discussion on this. But I'll start with this. So we've done a few of these stories, like, you know, the person that finds, like, the Mickey Mantle rookie card in their grandpa's attic when they're cleaning it out and suddenly they've got tens of thousands of dollars. Or we did that story where somebody bought like the little bowl in the yard sale in Connecticut for like $30 and ended up
Ming
being
Dynasty.
Traced back to the Ming Dynasty and it's going for six or seven figures. Something very similar happened at a donation center in Ontario, Canada, where somebody purchased a painting for $4.09.
9 cents.
You can find some art, you know, I guess artwork at the thrift store. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Here's the catch. This painting actually was painted by David Bowie. The unnamed thrift store shopper only realized it was painted by the famous singer after finding his signature on the back. Ontario auction house Cowley Abbott said there was, quote, cautious excitement when it was first contacted about the 1997 work, as his paintings are rarely sold at auction. The auction house said on its website, quote, the chance discovery of this treasure within a pile of discarded goods is quite remarkable. David Bowie died in 2016, studied painting in his youth, and was an avid collector, according to the auction house. Between 1995 and 1997, Bowie painted a series of 47 portraits he called Deadheads, Cowley Abbott said, and some of the paintings in the collection were likely inspired by his Ziggy Stardust period. By Thursday, this was last Thursday, bidding had gone as high as $38,100 Canadian dollars, approximately $30,800 U.S. dollars. The bidding ends on June 24th, which would be Thursday. So you buy a painting at a thrift store for a little over $4, and it ends up being painted by David Bowie. And I'm sure even after you pay, you know, the auction house and all those fees, you're going to clear what, Snoop? At least 20 grand?
Yeah.
Something like that?
You can go out to eat a couple nights.
Wing shortage be damned. You're getting some wings.
For real?
And lots of
ooh.
Them.
Well, I got inconceivables if you're talking about wings.
I wanted to ask you about that because we got a couple minutes here. So have you noticed? I'm not a big wing person.
I am.
Like my wife only likes a certain type of wing, or like
drumstick
boneless wing.
Or...
Well, she likes like the breaded wings, which to me that defies the point of chicken wings. Like I like pluckers where you can get like, you know, different flavors. Like I love my lemon pepper wings from Pluckers.
Yes, sir.
For instance. My wife and I don't see eye to eye on wings. That's why I don't get them that often. But are wing prices really going up? You got bit by this apparently, by this bug.
Yeah, but you know I'm rich, so. No,
it was payday and you went out to eat.
Yeah,
because
you know how I do it. When I get paid, I'm rich for 1 week and I'm like, you know, poor Jim the second week.
What none of the listening audience sees is y'all don't have to interact with Snoop like I do between paychecks. And he's like, man, oh, I can't wait till Friday. Yeah. Really need Friday to get here.
Yeah. Anyway, dude, and I got state this weekend. Like, I need to buy a battery charger. I'm getting all off course. I need to buy a lot of stuff anyway.
But you had to get you some wings.
But, you know, wings come first. And one place I went, it was for 15 wings. Was it $30? Let me double check. For 5 wings, it was $12.
Man. All right.
Yeah, for 10 wings, it's like 20, and for 15, it's 30. The only place, I don't want to, like, call them out.
I just
but
belted into the microphone. I apologize,
we're talking
everybody.
About wings. If you go to casino.
Had a taco during the break.
What kind of You want to share it?
It's a brisket taco. I got to be up here covering baseball today.
Yes.
Soon,
oh, so. Yeah. You're right. But yeah, so Casino El Camino, last night I got 8 wings for $9. And okay. They're some of the best wings out there. So it depends on where you get them. But if people are savvy businesses, they jack their prices up on the wings, including Pluckers.
Price of meat, period, is going up. Like, anybody been to a barbecue place lately? The price you pay for brisket. It was already high anyway, but...
We're moist.
Things are going to...
I only want moist.
I guess it's supply chains and what have you. Fuel costs going up, the whole deal. So, yeah. A little inconvenience, but inconceivable nonetheless that Snoop's paying that much for wings. But at least you found a good deal, so that's good. All right. We might have... This might be a multi-day thing for Inconceivable with this story.
Oh.
All right. So... Families can be complicated. I'm reading this from the Mirror in the UK, which I'm not convinced this story is real. That's why I'm proceeding with caution. I heard about this morning. I haven't seen this like on an official media outlet. I guess the Mirror is about as official as I found. Families can be complicated, especially when couples separate or there has been infidelity somewhere along the line. But there are few situations, quite as complicated as this man's family tree after he discovered, Snoop, that his son is actually his uncle.
Hold on.
TikTok user at Stacks1400 made the devastating realization after discovering his girlfriend, the mother of his child, had been having an affair with his grandfather while they were living with him. The man shared a clip alongside the caption, quote, "Can't believe I expected more from a man that had a whole other family around the corner from my granny house," end quote, suggesting the granddad had has a long history of infidelity. So he got some, you know, responses from TikTok users after receiving an influx of well wishes from concerned followers. Many questions for him for more details on how it could have happened without him knowing pop up. The man went on to explain that he picked up his girlfriend's phone while she went in the shower and discovered, quote, years worth of messages and pictures and explicit stuff from, I guess, his grandfather.
Don't look at her phone, fam.
In another video.
You're going to find what you're looking for.
Exactly. It's one of those things you think you want to know, but you don't want to know. In another video, Stax promised he would continue to treat his son as his son, and their relationship wouldn't change just because he found out about his girlfriend's affair. So you go from being a dad to raising your uncle.
There's a rap song about that. I swear I can't think of who was by, but it's so funny.
It's the very definition of inconceivable. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two coming up. Chad Hastings will be along for the ride as we get you ready for Texas and Tennessee. 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock first pitch. And you hear that right here on The Horn, live, local, and digital on The Horn app and at hornfm.com.